This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, we'll talk about why you might create a standardized vacation and take a deep dive into the surprisingly hot topic of wearing clothes. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, I have to say, I am very impressed with us that we have survived an entire month of wearing clothes every day.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Gretch, we made it through February. I did take one day off. I'll tell you about it. I had justification in my mind. We'll get to that.
Excellent. Well, I think that you have an excuse at the ready if you want to avail yourself of it because your pilot got picked up. How is it going? That's such a huge, huge thing.
Yes, it is so much fun. It's just so crazy and so stressful and fun all at the same time. But we have a great cast. We are going to be shooting very soon in Los Angeles.
Yay.
Just great locations. So I'm super excited to get shooting and, happy.
Well, it must be nice to be shooting like right in your own hometown because I remember you going to many places all over the world to shoot. And that's a fun adventure, but it's also a lot more logistically challenging.
Yes. Yes. It's nice to be able to drop Jack off to school, you know, and then go work instead of being in Budapest.
Yes. 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 Now, listen, this week, our Try This at Home tip is to create a standardized vacation, which is that when you're going on a vacation with other people, you create a standard template of when to go, where to go, who does what jobs. You just standardize the whole thing.
Yeah, and this is really interesting because it minimizes decision fatigue, which is a reason that many things don't happen. Even just going out for dinner with friends on a Saturday night is because nobody wants to make a decision about where to go, what to do. And this completely takes care of that problem.
Yeah, and I got inspired about all the advantages of a standardized vacation because I was talking to a friend of mine's husband who is a doctor. And he was telling me how he has this bunch of guys that he's been friends with since medical school, and they have a completely standardized vacation. It's always the same people. They rent the same place in the same town, and they even have, like, jobs so that one person's in charge of, like, the grocery shopping. One person's in charge of renting the van. One person's in charge of renting the place. Every job is assigned, and you know a year in advance what you're going to be doing and who needs to do what. And in a way, it's sort of, you might think like, oh, well, you know, is that less fun? But the fact is, they're all incredibly busy. And yet year after year after year, they've all managed to show up at the same place at the same time. And that's so hard to pull off that I think there's a lot of advantages to this standardized vacation.
Yeah, well, and it's the thing of if it's not on the calendar, it won't happen. And if it is on the calendar, it likely will happen. And so if you know, oh, every year, the second weekend in October, I meet my friends in Palm Springs, you're just going to have it on your mind and plan around it. It's amazing how things can happen. Like you go, oh, I could never go away. you know, in the spring. But then, of course, if you have it on the calendar, somehow you'll find yourself doing it.
Yes. Well, and listen, you and I did this ourselves because before we started the podcast, which now we talk constantly and see each other all the time because of like podcasting conference or, you know, this, that, or the other thing, we felt like we needed to standardize a vacation just for us because we both had standardized like when we would go to Kansas City. Like in my family, we go a week in August and we also go for Christmas every year. You go every other year. But you and I didn't necessarily see each other that often. And so we picked President's Weekend. And for several years, our standardized vacation was it was President's Weekend. And this was when Jack was really little. And so it was, we would come to L.A. and we would pick a place that was within driving distance of L.A. So we did go to different places, but they were always within a driving distance of L.A. And you guys always picked the place. So you came up with some cool places that we went to, and that was so that when you have, you know, when you have a little kid, it's just so much easier just to jump in the car than it is to like deal with the airport.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that was very thoughtful of you to be willing to fly out here for our weekends, but it was great, and we would never have seen each other those weekends had we not had the plan that on President's Day we see each other.
Right. And the thing is, because we planned it in advance, we were able to think about things like, well, it's much harder for Elizabeth to fly than it is for Gretchen, but then Gretchen's on the East Coast, and so for her and her family, being in California in February is a plus. Like, we sort of thought it through and came up with an optimal solution, whereas if every time we were like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Santa Fe. And then we had to kind of like think through the implications for both of us about like pros, cons. It just, it gets to be too much. And then you just, you, even if you like have a couple emails about it, it just, it's so easy for it to just fritter away.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, Gretchen, that I had this with my college friends because, you know, these are people I love so much. And again, it's like I never see them because it's like, oh, we should all get together. And it's like, oh, we should. And then it just never happens. It feels like, oh, it's not a good time.
Yeah.
It's too far. You know what I mean? Are we having kids or not having kids? And it's like if there was just a weekend every year where I knew we were seeing each other, then it would just be part of my life and it would just be the, you know, part of the fabric. And what's interesting is, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about 18 for 2018.
Yeah.
So many people on their list of 18 things they want to do in 2018 have connecting with friends.
Yes.
And this is a great way to connect with friends.
Yeah.
Or family, for that matter, you know.
Yeah, if you don't have a standing time. And I think another reason that the standardized vacation helps is that when there's lots of people involved, like if it's just you and me, like maybe we can work that out amongst ourselves. But when you have multiple people, like all of your college roommates or all the guys from medical school or whatever, then it becomes more complicated. And then you get into the thing where like some people could have a date and then somebody's like, well, that date doesn't work for me. And then people are like, well, do we proceed without you because it's working for a lot of people? Is that a, like, is that unthoughtful? And so now we have to like search for another date and now we're 2 years out. If it's standardized, it's like build it into the schedule. And if you can't do it that weekend, like it happens. We all understand. Maybe you have a family wedding you can't miss. We'll see you next year. But everybody can plan very well in advance because it's just, it's been decided in advance. And you don't have to worry about how are things going to get done because you've figured out who's got what responsibility.
And you know you like the house you're staying in or the resort you're staying in. And it's nice just to not have to worry about those details. But Gretch, you did this, right, with your friends for a while at least.
Well, in college, we had something called the Ides of March. And so, again, it's like a set time and it was easy to remember because it was the Ides of March. And we did do it for a couple years, maybe even several years. But see, here's the thing. It wasn't totally standardized. We had the date, but it would move to different cities. And 1 year, the people who had sort of put up their hands to plan it didn't. They just didn't do it. They didn't get send out the emails. They didn't like get the ball rolling. And so it just didn't happen. And so that's the thing. I think you have to know who's doing what job or have it so standardized that everybody knows, because in that case, it just something that was working really well just vanished without anybody even really talking about it. It just didn't happen. And then it never happened again.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Like some people, I think, are listening to this and they're like, well, this takes all the fun out of a vacation. I mean, there's a whole huge world out there. Why are you going to go back to the same place year after year? They might feel trapped, feeling like, oh, there's this thing on my calendar. But I do think there's a lot of advantages to standardization. And maybe even if you don't want to pick exactly the same place, like the way we picked driving distance of LA, like that's a lot of options. And yet it's narrowed. And so if you're somebody, mm-hmm. I like the idea of going back to exactly the same place. Like I love that. To me, it makes it seem easier and more appealing because, again, the decision fatigue, like knowing exactly what to expect or like how fancy is the restaurant and what is the gym like and all that. But I think there's ways, if you don't like that, you could still get some of the advantages of standardization, even if you don't want to get to the exact level of standardization that turns you off.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways where you could modify this to fit your, you know, your group of friends and what works for you guys. Like if maybe some people like going different places, but it's always the same weekend. I mean, I just think that if you know it's the same weekend, then you can plan. And that's a huge part of it. But although I do like going the whole hog and just having everything standardized.
Because then you start getting into like, where are you going? And it's like, people want to be considerate. So I want to be close to you, but then it's too far for me. It just gets, it's like, there's just, the more people are involved, it's just very hard to take everybody's desires and interests and situation into account. And so it's like, you just deal with that one time and get it done. Now, the thing is, a lot of groups will have someone like the Julie McCoy. You know, people will say to them, say, oh, I'm the Julie McCoy. Everybody calls me that. I'm the cruise director. I like to make plans and I sort of like deal with it and get everybody energized. But a lot of groups don't have somebody like that. And first of all, if you have somebody like that, cooperate with them, praise them, appreciate them, because that is a huge amount of emotional and like logistical work. And sometimes people think it's funny to kind of poke fun at that person. Whereas I'm like, we should all be sending them baskets of flowers and fruit because it's so much work to be the Julie McCoy. But if you don't have a Julie McCoy, maybe your group won't get together. You know, if your family or your group of friends doesn't have someone like that, you kind of have to, standardization is a way to get the benefits if you don't have a person who's willing to play that role.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, of course, we always have to mention the four tendencies. It's also a way, if you have these sort of jobs for the trip divided up, to keep the obligers in the group from having to do everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Great point. Yes. Because a questioner would be like, well, it's efficient for us all to have these jobs. And a upholder's like, well, if I'm supposed to do this, I will. But yeah, you don't want the obliger just sort of like volunteering or feeling volunteered for everything. Yes, that is an excellent point. Yes. Yeah. Like we got to make sure we don't exploit the obligers, which we often do. That is the truth. Yes.
Yeah. It's really just good to know, like if there's people you want to see in your life, it's just good to know at least once a year doesn't seem like much, but it's a whole lot more than not seeing people for 5 years. Nope. You know,
100. I have a birthday buddy. This is a friend of mine I've known for years. Our birthdays are one day apart. She lives 6 blocks from me. Mm-hmm. And many years I only see her. We get together for her birthday. I only see her once a year. But I know that I'm going to see her once a year because when her birthday comes around, I'm like, oh, I have to see her, my birthday buddy. Once a year is a lot more than that. And this is what we talk about all the time. Ancient philosophers and contemporary scientists agree. If there's one key to a happy life, it's relationships. As you say, if there's one thing that came up on so many 18 for 2018 lists, it's relationships, seeing people, staying in touch with people. And so this is a place where anything that you can do to make it easier is going to make a big payoff in your happiness. If you can find ways to save your time, energy, or money to put it towards those relationships, it's going to make you happier.
Yeah.
So let us know if you do try this at home and whether you're creating a standardized vacation or whether you've already standardized a vacation. It'd be interesting to hear how different people have standardized a vacation. Let us know how it works for you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@GretchenRubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes for this episode. This is episode 158. So go to happiercast.com/158 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, a pairing happiness hack. But first, this break.
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Elizabeth, it's time for Happiness Hack. And in my book, Better Than Before, I talk about the 21 strategies that we can use to make or break our habits. And sometimes people think 21 is too many, but it's good to have 21 because it gives you lots to choose from. Some work better for some people than they do for other people. And one of them is pairing. And that's if there's something that you want to do, you pair it with something that you need to do or that you should do so that it gets done more readily. So, for instance, if you're having trouble taking medication, you might say, okay, I'm going to put my medicine bottle in front of my coffee pot. And I'm going to say to myself, I can't have my first cup of coffee in the morning until I've taken my medicine. And so that way it's like, well, you really want that cup of coffee. So you're going to do whatever you have to do to fight your way through to that first cup. So that's pairing. And so, but here we got an interesting example of somebody who took that to the next level.
Yes, this is from Nicole. She says, I have used your pairing technique with great success and wanted to share a small spin on it. I have fallen into the habit of winding down at the end of my day with a glass of wine while watching TV. While I am not looking to entirely eliminate either of these, I am aware that it's not the healthiest combo. So I've employed unpairing. I can have a glass of wine, but not while I watch TV. And I can watch TV, but only if I don't also have wine. This has made me more mindful of my choices and has cut back a bit on both habits while still giving me the end of day wind down that I'm looking for. Thank you, as always, for all of your strategies and tips. So I thought we've never talked about unpairing, and that's a really good idea.
I think this is a brilliant idea. And I have to confess, like, I'd never really thought about unpairing. And once you use that term and give an illustration, you see how common it is for things to get paired. And also, I think what's nice about it is one of the problems that comes up when people are trying to shape their habits or when they're trying to use self-mastery generally is, like, it's so easy to fall into feeling deprived. And when you feel deprived, then you feel like, well, I should somehow earn something. Well, if I'm giving up this, then I deserve that. And then often that becomes kind of this downward spiral where, yes, I've made myself go to the gym, but now I'm going to have this giant blueberry scone. And so then that's not, like, exactly where I wanted to end up. But in here, she's not taking anything away. She's just saying, I can have my brownie, I can have my ice cream, but I can't have my brownie a la mode. It's like, and that's fine, because it's like you can enjoy them both better maybe if you're kind of sinking into the experience more. Like, I'm really going to enjoy this glass of wine. I'm really going to focus on this TV show. Whereas if you're drinking wine while you're watching TV, you're probably not noticing either one as much. So this, I think, it's both more mindful enjoyment, which is good on its own, and you get double treats instead of just like one big treat, and there's no deprivation.
Yeah, then I think that is so key that there's no deprivation, because she's saying, hey, if I want a glass of wine, I will have it. So she doesn't have that feeling of like, I never can have wine again, angry, frustrated. She's just like, oh, after I watch this show, I'll have a glass of wine. And then probably, you know, a lot of the time, by the time the show's over, she doesn't even want the glass of wine and she goes to bed. So that's how it ends, or vice versa. So that's how it ends up cutting down on both habits.
Well, and then also just one of the things that research shows is that for habits, or anytime we want to shape our behavior, just monitoring is good. Just knowing how much you're doing something is very helpful. And I think when you uncouple these things, you're probably more aware, because it's like, oh, tonight, am I more in the mood for this or that? And so then you're more aware of like, wow, I'm really, you just, because when they're coupled together, it's just easier not even to notice, paradoxically, because it just, it's not as pure an activity. Whereas you're like, wow, tonight I'm picking, like right now I'm going to go have that glass of wine. Now, and also studies suggest that when people do something while they're watching TV, they're distracted. You know, this is like, we've all had the experience of like, you start the bag of something while you're watching TV, and then all of a sudden you're like reaching for the crumbs at the bottom and you don't even remember reading because you're so distracted. So anytime you want to enjoy something, not enjoying it in front of the television, you're going to get more enjoyment out of it because you're just going to have a deeper appreciation for whatever that activity is because you're not also watching TV, which itself is like very absorbing.
Yes. So thanks, Nicole, for a great hack.
Yes. Interesting. And now, Elizabeth, it's time for the deep dive into the sizzling hot topic, which I have to say we did not expect. Of wearing clothes. Clothes being in quotation marks.
Yes, I've been calling this our February Real Clothes Challenge on Instagram. And this was, we said that every day of February, you and I would wear real clothes, i.e. not sweatpants, not hoodies. We were allowed to wear nice sneakers and jeans, of course. But it had to be something we would say that we would wear out to dinner. And not be embarrassed, because I'll wear really bad clothes to dinner and I'll be embarrassed, but I'll do it. So it had to be something that I felt okay wearing to dinner.
Yes. And wearing a little makeup, at least some makeup, wearing, trying to change up your jewelry, or at least like wearing, like putting in, I'd put in earrings every day.
Yes.
We very cleverly picked the shortest month, Elizabeth, because this this was a challenge for us. But I have to say, what it was interesting to me is how many people shared this. I kind of thought it was just like you and me were like off, off in a corner talking just between the two of us about like how bad we felt about the fact that we were dressing this way. But we heard from so many people in so many different professions all over the country talking about their own thoughts and examples related to wearing clothes.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything from, you know, dog walkers to people who are like golf pros to, you know, accountants who work at home. You know, I mean, it really crosses like all professions, except I guess a lawyer who goes into the office is not having this problem. But a lot of people. And what's funny is it also seems sort of inconsequential, like, how big of a deal is it that you're wearing sweatpants, you know, while you sit and work on your computer instead of, you know, jeans and boots? But it really has a disproportionate effect on a lot of people, including us.
Yeah. Well, and that is what I think is really the sort of the most interesting thing here is, why does it seem to have this effect, which many, 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 many people pointed to, of making you feel more productive, more assertive, more kind of ready for opportunity, more like ready to jump out of the house and like get going in your day? It's, it reminds me kind of like of the make your bed resolution, because of every resolution about happiness that I've ever discussed, the one that people most often specifically mention, weirdly, is the resolution to make your bed every day. There's just something about this little habit every day that makes people feel kind of just ready for their day. It's not hard. It gives you this little bit of feeling of order, and just, it's it, like you say, it seems disproportionate. It's not that big a deal to have a bed that's made or a bed that's not made, and yet it seems to have this effect in people's perception of their day going forward. And the same thing with clothes. Many, many, many people pointed to this idea that they just felt like when they were wearing clothes, they just felt like they were putting their best foot forward in a way that really didn't make logical sense.
One funny thing is several people mentioned that their children's reactions to them wearing real clothes was a wake-up call. You know, like they walk out and go, Mom, where are you going? You look so nice.
I know. Laura said, I'd realized I'd gotten a little sloppy. I got dressed in jeans and a semi-nice shirt, not a t-shirt. And when my three-year-old saw me, he said, Mom, you have your handsome clothes on. Where are we going? And the answer was Target.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, and Gretchen, many people agreed with us that there's something about not being dressed in clothes, however you define clothes, that makes you feel less capable, like less ready to face the day. And I know that I certainly feel more ready to face the day, I'm learning, when I do have on a nice outfit.
Yeah, I think it just gives you that sense of, maybe it's professionalism, maybe it's just more, you feel less self-conscious. Or maybe it's even sort of like the making the bed. It's like a sense of putting yourself into order, that it's somehow, mm-hmm. you know, you're readying yourself, or you're kind of getting yourself all set up. And it's kind of like outer order, inner calm. It's one of these things, like if I feel like my outside is, you know, ready, then my inside feels more ready.
Yeah. And I think there's an armor sense, like I'm putting on my armor for the day.
Yeah.
Meg said, I'm a pastry chef, so not only do I work in a very casual industry, but also change into a uniform when I get to work and work long hours, so I don't generally go anywhere before or after work. Basically, it really doesn't matter what I wear. I've never been one to care too much about my appearance, but I'd reached a definitively new low after going through the grueling months-long process of opening a new restaurant. I either went to work straight from the gym wearing sweaty workout clothes, or rolled out of bed and threw on yoga pants or jeans and a t-shirt with the restaurant name on it every day. I felt like a slouch, a slob, and like I really just didn't have my act together. So I made a pact with myself. I would no longer wear logo t-shirts out of the house unless I was going to work out, and I would go home after workouts to change before going to work. So that's a big commitment, but I could see how she would just start feeling like she's losing herself.
Yes. Right, right, right. Nicole writes, I work in a ceramic studio. I used to work in my studio dressed in sweatpants, a big baggy t-shirt, and flip-flops, mostly because regardless of what I wear, I end up covered in clay and dust. In the last few months, I've made the effort to wear jeans, boots, and nicer tops. I don't care about getting my clothing dirty anymore because I feel more productive and can run out on an errand without changing my entire outfit. It also makes unexpected studio visits much easier and professional. And that reminded me, Elizabeth, of how you said, like, when somebody accidentally came for an interview on the wrong day,
yes.
and you felt very apologetic because you hadn't dressed,
yes.
because you didn't know that they were going to be coming in. You didn't. So this way, you're just sort of ready in that professional
yes.
way.
And Gretchen, a lot of people suggested figuring out some kind of uniform, which you and I have talked about before. Pick a uniform.
Yeah.
Deborah said, my suggestion to you is Uniqlo for winter clothes. I know you already like their down
yes.
vests.
Yes, we do.
That's true.
That was a happiness hack.
We talked so much about how much we love Uniqlo. Everyone thought we were doing an ad, but we were not. We just like Uniqlo vests.
Yes.
Which I've been wearing, Gretchen, in my Real Clothes February challenge,
but
my Uniqlo vest.
I have mine next to me in the studio right now.
But Deborah said that her winter uniform is one of Uniqlo's Heat Tech t-shirts, silky soft second skin t-shirts that don't show under clothes and keep you warm, one of their V-neck cashmere sweaters on top. Looks polished and is warm and comfortable for every day. They're really cheap and I have them in every color. Problem solved for me. So that is something you can do, is like you look really nice and you look like you're kind of have a nice outfit put together, but it doesn't take a lot of thought.
Yeah. So Brittany said kind of along the same lines. She said, I decided on a uniform for every day that was comfortable for me, easy to put on after a long night of not sleeping, because she has really little kids, be able to play with my kids while wearing it, makes me feel good. And most importantly, it has pockets. So again, it's like this idea of like identify what I'm going to wear, and then just that's eliminating decision fatigue, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Now, Kate and a few other people suggested it's easier to know what to wear if you plan your outfits in advance for the week, like on Sunday night. I don't see either of us doing that.
We are not on that level.
No. I respect, can't imagine.
I respect that. That is not that, that we're barely scrambling to we're not at that level of sophistication and rotation and options, but maybe one day.
Yes. And Gretch, many people said that they wear leggings with a long shirt or dress, that was their sort of uniform. Sarah wears that a lot and it looks super cute. No, I don't even own leggings.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
I need to get some. Like, it's never once in my life occurred to me, like, oh, everyone I see is wearing leggings. Perhaps this would work in my life. I'm just sort of like, leggings, I don't get it. But they do look so cute. And of course, like, you know, Eliza wears them like every day.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It's funny though. It's funny that you say that because you see them constantly and it has never once occurred to me, like, I could wear leggings.
Yeah, I don't know. That would change. Change it up. Let's make a pact that we're each going to get leggings.
Okay, I can't swear that I will wear them, but I will buy them, and then maybe I will maybe Eliza and Eleanor can coach me on how to incorporate them into my wardrobe setting. Now, and just in terms of like having a good wear clothes motto, I thought Lori Angela had a great motto: get up, dress up, show up. She said it helped her to set her actions with her mood, and I love that. Get up, dress up, show up.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Says it all.
Yeah. And Gretchen, Jeanette made an interesting point. She said, what got me really thinking was something you said in an early episode about work during holidays. You said something about doing some work each day, which will make the rest of the time feel more leisurely. I totally feel this way about clothes. If you wear real clothes, it feels so much more relaxed if you change into comfort clothes at the end of the day. And that's so true.
So true. Yeah, you appreciate it so much more.
I mean, such a memory I have of Dad is like every day he'd walk into the house in his suit after work and he'd be like, I'm going to go change my pants.
Yeah.
And he would always go change into like, you know, khakis and a shirt, yeah, which for him was his comfort clothes. And it was always like, okay, now Dad's done working for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice marker for you and for like even for your whole household. So Alyssa, what did we learn from the month of clothes?
Well, I really did love wearing clothes every day. I mean, it really did make me feel more like, you know, this businesswoman I want to be.
Take
like
charge.
Ridiculously, even though I'm, you know, in my 40s, I still like feel like a kid.
Yeah.
So it made me feel more like a woman.
Yeah.
But here's the one downside.
Oh.
And this goes to why I chose one day not to do it, is I have not been doing my treadmill desk nearly as much.
Ooh.
Because one reason I even started wearing sweatpants every day was because of the treadmill desk, because it's just so much easier if you're walking on a treadmill to be wearing sneakers and sweats. It just feels more comfortable.
Yeah.
And do I have an extra pair of sneakers in my office that I could change into? Yes. But it's just that little obstacle has kept me off the treadmill, not totally, but I'm doing it way less.
Mm, that's
so one day on President's Day, as a matter of fact, we had to work because, you know, we're in the middle of a pilot and we're not taking really any days off. And I said, okay, it's President's Day. Nobody else is at work today. It's a holiday. I'm going to wear sweats. I wear my nicest sweats and my nicest hoodie. And I'm going to walk on the treadmill. And I did 3 miles that day on the treadmill. So I just decided, since it was President's Day, it was a not real clothes day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's important. And that's really worth considering because there's benefits to wearing clothes, but there's also a lot of benefits to doing the treadmill desk. And I've been in your office and I've seen how, like, you have a couch and you have chairs and you and Sarah, because Sarah also has the treadmill desk, like you'll be sitting and doing one thing or you'll go and get something off the printer and then you sort of seamlessly go back onto the treadmill. And so it is like this idea. And one of the things from the habits research is anything that's convenient, you're more likely to do. And even the slightest little bit of inconvenience makes it less likely. And if you were changing your shoes even one time, it just is going to be that little bit of a hurdle. Whereas now you just jump on your treadmill desk without thinking about it if you're already. And that's important. But see, I don't have that. I'm not right. Getting on a treadmill. I would love to have a treadmill desk, but my office is too small. And so for you, I think that is a really serious consideration, but I'm not doing that.
I think what I clearly need is to have more of a strategy of cute outfits that incorporate sneakers, which I don't feel I have now. So I need to work. I have cute sneakers, but not like the outfits don't quite go together. They go better with boots. But anyway, Gretch, tell me, how did you feel wearing real clothes? Did it affect you?
I did. It did affect me. It made me feel good. Like if I ran into somebody I knew, I felt like just in the neighborhood, I felt good. One of my 18 for 2018 was to do Instagram more. So if you follow me on Instagram, I hope that you have seen that I have been trying to step up my Instagram game. I am doing more hashtags and like putting on the captions and trying to like experiment with all the things you could do on Instagram. And one of the reasons that I hadn't been doing Instagram is because often you will show yourself. And when I was just had no makeup, you know, my hair was a mess, no earrings, and just wearing a sweatshirt, I never wanted to include myself, whereas now I felt like I was more ready to include myself because I was wearing clothes. So that really helped me. But I will say it also really made me realize how much I love wearing yoga pants and running shoes. And so maybe part of it is just like, oh my gosh, don't take it for granted. It's such a luxury. It's such a wonderful, wonderful luxury to be able to wear that when you want to, because it is really nice.
So are you going to go back to your yoga pants every day, or are you going to stick with the real clothes?
I think,
or something in between?
I think I'm going to do something in between. I think that also sometimes what I would do is I would have yoga clothes on and then I would switch to a real outfit. And then the minute I could, I would switch out of the real outfit. Now I think if I put on the real outfit, because often there'll be something during the day where I have to wear, like right now I'm at the Panoply Studios. It's like I'm wearing real clothes for that. Just stay in the real clothes. Because I do feel more kind of on top of my game instead of constant feeling like I have to minimize the time. But I think it was good to do it for the month. I feel like we're going to be more likely to incorporate more clothes. Like we have better shoes. We've thought through the outfits. Yes. Like maybe we won't do it. Maybe it's not going to be all or nothing for either of us. But it's more like we're going to be more ready to wear clothes in the situations where before we might have said, well, I could probably get away with not wearing clothes. Now I think I'm going to be more tipped to being willing to wear clothes.
Yes. And I have been wearing, as we said at the beginning of this, one advantage is that we'd wear clothes we don't normally wear.
Yes.
That have just sit in our closet, but that we really like. And I have been doing that. I've been wearing a lot of clothes that I hadn't worn in, you know, over a year or something, just because I've only worn hoodies. I was even thinking, wow, I've washed so few hoodies this month. Like, I just have not worn hoodies except like hiking and things like that.
Yeah.
So now one disadvantage, Gretchen, my dry cleaning bill is like through the roof. Because normally I'm just wearing things that I throw in the wash, but this month I've been doing so much dry cleaning. So that's another downside.
Right. Right. Well, I think this was a good exercise just in learning, and then we'll have to report back and see how it's, if we keep up. I think for a lot of it is also, there's the good feeling, as you say, with wearing clothes that you feel like you're not getting proper use out of. And then also I feel like I've thought through some outfits, like you were saying, like figuring out how you could make use of something. Once you've figured it out once, then you're like, oh, this is an outfit that I could wear. But the first time, it takes a little bit more mental energy. Okay, so
one thing I want to keep incorporating is I started during this month Fancy Friday, because I had, since I was wearing all these clothes, I'm like, well, I have a pair of shoes I would normally never wear just to a regular day at work.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say, well, I called it Dress Up Friday, and then someone said, call it Fancy Friday. I said, oh, that's a great name. So I think I'm going to try to keep Fancy Friday so that at least I know on Fridays I'm going to be wearing a really nice outfit, what I call a nice outfit, which other people would probably call Casual Friday.
Well, that's great. Oh, I love that. Well, thanks, everyone, for letting us know about clothes. We really did feel so much. It was great to hear that so many people also struggled with this or had thought about this. So thanks to everyone for letting us know what you made of this Try This at Home.
Oh, and Gretchen, I didn't take a picture of myself every day, but a lot of days I did. So I'll put a little thing on Instagram, at Liz Craft is my Instagram name, of my outfits for the February Real Clothes Challenge. Nothing too exciting, but if anybody's interested.
Excellent.
Coming up, I give myself a pilot stress happiness demerit. But first, this break.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. Mm. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/happier. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, it's time for demerits and gold stars. And Elizabeth, you are up for a demerit because this is an even-numbered episode, episode 158.
Yeah, Gretchen, this week my happiness demerit is related to making my pilot. Now, doing a pilot, as I said, makes me incredibly happy, but it's also really stressful. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times you're trying to make a million decisions and you don't have all the information. And it's just sort of your head is spinning, but you got to keep it together. And so one thing that I have noticed is it's made me a little bit more on edge at home. It's like the stress of the pilot is seeping out with Adam and Jack. Yeah. Like, you know, we try to say to use a kind voice in our house. Like we try to remind ourselves of that all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'll hear myself like yelling at Jack about getting to bed. Because I'm thinking about casting. Right. You know what I mean? It's like it has nothing to do with Jack. It's just that I'm on edge. So that is not good. And I got to like just cut that off and not do that.
You know, that's such a common problem. I mean, I feel I've struggled with that. I'm sure so many people have struggled with that. I mean, and I would love to hear maybe listeners have great strategies or rituals for like letting go of work stress, like not letting it, or, you know, trying to compartmentalize. Jamie is really good at this. Like he somehow is able to put it aside. I feel like that is a real gift to sort of like leave your work troubles at work or whatever. But it's hard because it's on your mind. It's affecting your mood. You're getting emails. And it's just like you're worked up. It's all over the place. So I don't know.
It's also I'm sleeping less because I am more worked up. So it's just harder to go to sleep at night. And then I usually tend to wake up earlier, you know, because I'm thinking about things. So it's like also getting less sleep is probably impacting being more on edge at home.
Well, that's one reason why the treadmill disc is good, because if you get more exercise, you sleep better. So that's good.
Yes.
Well, I would love to hear if people have other rituals or strategies for dealing with this, because it's hard. That is really hard. Yeah.
So, Gretch, but what is your gold star?
Well, I have a gold star for you and me both, Elizabeth. I think we deserve a gold star for Google Docs.
We have been using Google Docs, I've talked about on Happier in Hollywood as being just totally baffling, but we're starting to get it.
Yes.
And use it.
Yeah. So Eleanor gave me this because I'd heard you talking about it on Happier in Hollywood, and I'm like, what is this Google Docs thing? It sounds like it could be kind of cool. And so Eleanor, like, was so excited, and she sat me down and for like a half an hour showed me how to use Google Docs. And it turns out it's like this magical thing where multiple people can work on a document simultaneously. Like you can see where people are typing and it automatically saves. Like I'm so used to saving, but it just saves automatically. And so everybody has an updated thing. And it's one of these classic things on technology where it's like everybody says it's not that hard. And it really isn't that hard once you just really make up your mind that you're going to sit down and figure out how to use it that first couple times. Which we both did, and we have both been using Google Docs, and it is amazing, and I think we both deserve a gold star because we had resisted it for years, and now we're doing it like mad, and we've really got the hang of it.
So good for us.
Good for us. Embracing technology that everybody else embraced 10 years ago, but we're here now using Google Docs. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Create a standardized vacation. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Odelia Rubin. Also, thanks to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Also, I'm on Instagram at Liz Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, you know what I'm going to say. Please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Here's something I wanted to mention for the resources. We get emails from time to time about people asking about an advertiser. So if you want to follow up, like you can't remember the name of an advertiser or you weren't sure about the spelling or something, if you go to the show notes for the episode, which again is always happiercast.com/whatever the number of the episode is. So like this is episode 158. So it'd be happiercast.com/158. You scroll down below the comments. You'll see the comments that people have put. And then you'll see a section called Our Sponsors. And that will give you any information about our ads. And that's, you know, if you go back 10 episodes, it'll be the ads for that episode. So just go below just keep scrolling and it will pop up for you. And also, if you want to sign up for my monthly newsletter where I have like highlights and sometimes there's like little bonuses or questions and just stuff I'm interested in, I will post a link to that or you can just email us at podcast@GretchenRubin.com and I will sign you up.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.